Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach the word. I'm thankful for those who are working hard to make this live stream available. I'm thankful for our pastor's vision to make sure that we can keep doing as much as we can here to be as close to assembling together as we can. So 2 Timothy here is Paul's last letter written to his son in the faith, Timothy. So this would be, imagine, I'm sure, Timothy here, recognizing Paul was going to die shortly, would take these words very seriously of his spiritual mentor, and just like you would take very seriously the last words of someone who you love very much, and this person was about to die for his faith in Christ. And so here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we see one of the commands in this book, a very important command. We're going to see in this message that we need to labor to be God's approved workmen. So that's the title of this message, labor to be God's approved workmen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the word of God. Thank you for this inspired epistle of Paul to Timothy. And I pray that you would help us to grasp the meaning of this passage, to understand it, to apply it in our lives, that we might be those workmen that need not to be ashamed, but are studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Would you strengthen our church in this and bless your word for your glory as we set it forth now. And we pray that you strengthen me as I teach it. And we pray this because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So here, maybe you can ask, what do you put effort into? What do you study? What do you labor at? Everybody labors at different things, studies different things, puts effort into different things. And maybe you can ask yourself, well, whatever I spend my time studying, putting labor into, will that result in my standing approved before God? That would be a good question, whatever I'm laboring at. Well, here, if we obey this verse, we will certainly have that take place. This is what Paul tells Timothy, and it's applicable to every Christian. And so here, our words have commanded to study to show ourselves approved unto God, as workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're going to see in this passage that there's one command. That one command is to study. And then what we are supposed to study in this verse is we're supposed to study to show yourself approved unto God. So you study to show yourself approved unto God. So then we're going to see what he who God approves is. So we're going to see the person who God approves. We're going to see that he's an unashamed worker, and he's a worker who's rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have the one command, study. Study to show yourself approved. Who are you showing yourself approved to? You're showing yourself approved to God. Who is the approved person? The approved person is a workman. What kind of workman is he? He's an unashamed workman. And he's also a workman who is rightly dividing the word of truth. So we see the one command here, study. That is the command of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, the command to study here doesn't mean necessarily what we think of in 2020 by the word study. We have in English, we have the word study in the King James Bible in this verse, and we also have it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, where the Bible says, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you." Now, in that verse, it's not saying that you take out a book and read about how to be quiet. How should I be quiet? Well, let's see. Here's one page. This next page tells me more. I guess if you're reading a book, you probably are going to be quiet be doing your own business. But that isn't necessarily the idea right in that verse there. The word translated study here in this verse means to proceed quickly, to hurry or hasten, to speed up a process or expedite. And here it would be to be especially conscientious in discharging an obligation, to be zealous or eager, to take pains, to make every effort, to be conscientious. This word, so we see that it's making every effort, taking pains, working at something. The word translated study here is also, it appears in a number of other texts in the New Testament. It's translated with forms of the word endeavor, due diligence, to be forward, to labor, to give diligence. So it's in Galatians 2:10, for example, I was forward, Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring, 1 Thessalonians 2:17, endeavor, 2 Timothy 4:9, do thy diligence, due diligence, 2 Timothy 4:21, due diligence, Titus 3:12, be diligent, Hebrews 4:11, labor, 2 Peter 1:10, give diligence, 2 Peter 1:15, endeavor, 2 Peter 3:14, be diligent. So the idea here is that the command in this verse then is to be somebody who is giving diligence, who is taking effort, who is exerting himself strongly, who's zealous, who's working very hard, who's laboring to show himself approved unto God. Okay? Now, since this verse talks about a workman who's rightly dividing the word of truth, the idea of actually taking books and studying would be included in the idea here. You can even see a few chapters later in 2 Timothy 4:13, Paul wanted copies of, he wanted his cloak because it was cold in the prison in Rome and for in wintertime. He wanted the books and especially the parchments. So he wanted copies of the books and the parchments. He wanted the Old and New Testament scriptures so that he could actually be studying those things. So the idea of actually studying the Bible is included in here, but it's a broader sense here of being zealous, being very conscientious, being very diligent to show yourself approved unto God. So the command in this verse, the one command, is a command to be forward, to endeavor, to labor, to take pains, to be very conscientious in discharging the obligation of showing oneself approved unto God. That's the command of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Furthermore, the tense that this verb is in shows that Paul is stressing the solemnity and the urgency of this action. The idea is make this your top priority. So it is urgent, it is essential, it must be your top priority to, with endeavor and diligence, make every effort to show yourself approved unto God. That's the command of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. So study to show thyself approved. Make it your top priority to be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. So that's study. So what are we supposed to study here? Well, we're supposed to make every effort. We're supposed to exercise effort to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. To show yourself. The idea is to present yourself. Like if somebody shows up at your house, he presents himself there. He renders himself there. So he comes there. He's showing himself, presenting. So the idea here is Timothy is to show or present himself so that he stands before God as one who is approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What does it mean to be approved? Well, it's kind of like, it's something that passes the test. The idea of approved is to be genuine on the basis of testing, to be approved by test, to be tried and true, to be genuine. Like maybe you have some silver and they test to make sure it's 100% pure and it passes that test. So Timothy is to study, to be diligent, to be zealous, to show himself, to present himself as one who is standing before God as genuine, who passes the test. So he's supposed to solemnly and urgently give himself so that he is someone whom God approves, someone who's properly fulfilling his role as a workman, somebody who's laboring in the word and doctrine, who passes the test of cutting, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you make your urgent, top priority, your solemn priority, standing approved before God, then your top priority is not going to be being approved by men, is it? You may remember that Peter denied Christ three times and began to curse and swear that he did not know the Savior. Why did he do that in Mark 14, 69 and 70? Well, he was standing before a bunch of servants, some slave girls, and he let their approval be more important than the approval of God. And so because at that point in time, the approval of the omnipresent God who was giving him life and breath and all things, the approval of Christ who was going to make a good confession before Pilate and be crucified, their approval at that point was less important than these servants who were standing by a fire. And so he committed a terrible sin. So we need to value standing approved by God far above any value we would place in the approval of the world. We need to value standing approved by God more highly than the approval of even of other Christians or of our family or anyone or anything else. We love Christ first. If we love father or mother more than Christ, we're not worthy of him. If we love son or daughter more than him, then we're not worthy of him. We take up our cross and follow after him. We find our life by losing it for his sake. Matthew 10:37-39. So certainly we want to be good examples to people, and we're happy when godly people approve of us, but we need to actually value our standing before God as our top priority. We're making sure that we're approved unto God versus valuing being approved by the world first. So we're studying here. We're being very diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. So who is this person then that God approves? If we're going to make it our highest priority, we're going to be zealous to be diligent to show ourselves, to present ourselves approved unto God. What does that look like? Who is this person who God approves of? Well, the verse says, he is a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So the person who God approves of is an unashamed worker. He's an unashamed worker. So this verse has that one command: study. Timothy and any preacher, teacher of the word of God and all Christians are to study to show yourselves approved to God. And the approved person is being defined as a workman. The approved person is a workman. What kind of workman is he? He's a workman that is an unashamed one. He's one that needeth not to be ashamed. So note in this passage, the unashamed workman is a workman. Okay, well, what's a workman? A workman is somebody who works, right? He works. He labors, doesn't he? That's if you're a workman, you're working, you're laboring. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 8, and also James 5, 4, this word is used for laborers. Laborers who worked 12-hour days in the hot sun. And in Israel, the work week wasn't 5 days like in our easy, first world culture here where everything is very easy. The work week was 6 days, 12 hours a day, 72 hours a week was the work week. That's quite you get a lot of overtime, wouldn't you, with that, 72 hours a week? They didn't get overtime. Just 6 days, 12 hours a day in the hot sun laboring. So what does a manual laborer do? What does somebody who works at Robert's Nursery do? He spends long hours doing back-breaking work, doesn't he? Okay? So the commended person in 2 Timothy 2:15 is a laborer. He's a workman. He's one who labors in the Lord's harvest field, like Matthew 9:37-38. 1 Timothy 5:17 talks about a pastor who's laboring in the word and in doctrine. The word in 1 Timothy 5, to labor, has the idea of becoming weary or tired, to toil, to strive, to struggle. So he grows weary studying the word, preaching and teaching the word to the sheep in the harvest field. The preacher who can do this without needing a secular job is worthy of double honor. He deserves high financial recompense. And such spending hours growing weary studying the Word and faithfully teaching the Word and doing other responsibilities of Christian ministry. That's certainly for pastors and teachers, but it's also for all believers. So you say, well, we're thankful we have a pastor who wants to do that, and we love that, we're glad, but that doesn't mean I have to do it. No, this is actually something that all Christians should be involved in. For example, if you look at Romans chapter 16, we have a list of all these people that Paul is greeting in Romans chapter 16. And Romans 16 in verse 6 says, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." Romans 16, 12 mentions some other women. It says, "Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord." So there's two other women who are laboring in the Lord. "Salute the beloved Persis, another lady, which labored much in the Lord." So we can see that labor in the Lord isn't only for a pastor, but it's also for women like Mary, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis. In Revelation 2 and verse 3, the church at Ephesus was full of all people who were laboring for Christ, the normal people. It says there that they had borne and had patience and for my name's sake had labored and not fainted. Now, it was good that they were laboring. They needed to be a labor of love, and that it wasn't that anymore was a big problem for them. But it was good that they were laboring for the Lord. This was commendable, laboring for the Lord. It needed to be a labor of love, but it was good they were laboring. Now, labor for the Lord is broader, certainly, than simply studying the Bible. It includes other things like serving the saints. Hebrews 6:10 talks about the labor of love, ministering to the saints, okay? So there's certainly broader aspects to that. But we can see, nevertheless, here, since we're looking at 2 Timothy 2:15, that the person here who is approved unto God is somebody who is laboring in the Word of God. And that's something that is a pattern for all believers, not just for people who are, you know, paid in the ministry or something like that. This is for you if you're watching this. Okay? So the commended person is somebody who's working, he's toiling, he's growing weary, he's laboring long hours in the Word, in doctrine and teaching. So if you teach Sunday school, if you're a Christian school teacher, if you're a parent who's teaching your own children, if you have any responsibility teaching children, if you talk to lost people and you need to have skill in explaining the Word to them house to house or in other settings, if you're part of the church and so you need to be doing the Great Commission, this verse applies to you. And so you need to be studying, you need to be zealous to be laboring in the Lord's work and laboring in understanding God's Word. Are you a workman in God's Word? Are you His laborer? Believers have many titles in the Bible, but one of the titles is that we're called God's servants or slaves. What does slaves do? Well, they work, don't they? They don't sit in front of a TV and eat nachos. They work, okay? Do you grow weary because of how much you study God's Word? Or is getting up to study God's Word in the morning a little bit earlier, the snooze button is more important than that to you? Do you grow weary in studying God's Word the way you grow weary in a secular job? Do you work very hard? Do you labor to properly divide the Word? Do you labor in doctrine, in understanding what God says, and in making sure that when you teach it to your children, when you teach it to your Sunday school class, that you're saying exactly what the passage says? Do you labor to make sure you teach it in an understandable way, in a way that's clear, in a way that people can understand what you're saying? Or does the idea of laboring to hunt for deer, or laboring to prepare an amazing food recipe, or laboring by working overtime at work, or laboring to have a nice garden, or laboring in other worthwhile things make sense, but laboring in the Word? Does that sound strange to you? Do you let the cares of this world keep you from studying God's Word? Do you in theory agree that every word and jot and tittle of the Bible is God's Word, but the idea of actually studying those jots and tittles very carefully, meditating on them, carefully understanding them, does that sound strange to you?
Do you study scripture carefully and talk about what passages of the Bible mean with other people in the church, with other people in your home? Do you model labor in the word for your children? Or would your children think it's really strange if they saw mom and dad talking together and working really hard to figure out what scripture was saying? Laboring with sweat over their brows to mine the riches of God's word and put them in practice. If laboring in the word, the way that you would labor to change the timing belt on a car, or the way you would labor to make an amazing Thanksgiving dinner seems strange to you, then maybe it's time to take 2 Timothy 2:15 more seriously. If you do obey this, you won't be ashamed. But if you don't labor in the word, if you're not a workman in God's word, when you stand before God, this text says you're going to be ashamed. Also, right now, if you're not obeying this verse, you should be ashamed right now. You're disobeying what this verse says. You should be ashamed. Are you ashamed if you're not obeying this verse? Or does that not mean too much to you, whether you're obeying it or not? Would it be better to be ashamed now and repent of the great sin of not laboring in God's word? Or would it be better to be ashamed when you stand before Christ? If you're not obeying this verse, now is a good time to change based on what this passage says and start laboring in the word. Do you really want to rightly divide the word enough to labor at it? If so, you're going to be better at it now than when you were first born again, won't you? You'll be better at it now than you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Maybe if somebody works at a secular job for 20 years, you get really good at what you do, don't you? That's why they pay you more. Or if they don't, maybe you need to get a different, a different career. But typically, people that have been at their job for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, they're really good at it. They know what they're doing. Other people come to them and say, hey, how do you do this? How do you do this? Help me with this. Because that person they know knows how to do their job well, his job well, okay? He's a veteran at it. Now, if you're laboring in the word, well, you're going to become somebody that's good at it. People will know that if they ask you what scripture says, you're going to give them an answer for what it says. Because you're known as a laborer in the word. You're a seasoned veteran in the word of God who's filled with scripture. And as you're filled with scripture, you're filled with the knowledge of the triune God of scripture. So here we see that the approved person is somebody who's laboring in the word. He's a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So we've seen that this verse has one command, study. What you're supposed to study is to show yourself approved to God. The person who's approved to God is first an unashamed worker, and secondly, he's a worker who is rightly dividing the word of truth. So he's continually or regularly rightly dividing the word of truth. And so to do this, you need to study. You need to be diligent. If you're going to rightly divide, you need to be laboring at it. You're studying because, and your goal is to show yourself approved to God. That approved person's an unashamed worker who's rightly dividing the word. So, he's rightly dividing it. He's cutting it straight. You know, dividing, you're cutting it, you're dividing it straight. You're saying exactly what it says. You're not adding to it. You're not taking away from it. You're dividing it. You're properly interpreting it and applying it properly in your life and in the lives of others who you're teaching. So the unashamed worker, the worker who's unashamed, who will be unashamed when he stands before God, is one who's rightly dividing the word of truth. So he's cutting it straight. It's kind of like maybe a surgeon when he's doing a life-saving surgery. He needs to make sure that he's rightly cutting things up in that person's body, doesn't he? That wasn't supposed to cut that part of that artery. There goes that one. Okay, that wouldn't be a good situation. You want a surgeon who's rightly dividing what he's doing, don't you? Okay, if he's not, please put me in a different hospital. Okay, I don't want to be in this one. Okay. So the rightly dividing person here, the rightly dividing preacher of God's word, is doing this for something even more important than saving physical lives. It's about people's spiritual lives. So you can trust that this godly preacher, this godly teacher, this godly father, this godly soul winner, this godly lady like Mary and like those other people in Romans 16 will be people who are accurately representing what a passage says, and they're doing that over and over again. You can count on them. They're precisely explaining the truth that's in the mind of God and revealed in the inspired and preserved word. You're going to be a person who's accurate whenever you're teaching that Sunday school class to proclaim what the scripture says properly. Imagine if you were going into LASIK surgery, okay, to fix your eyes, and they want to make it so, you know, we don't have to wear glasses anymore. So you went to get LASIK surgery, and the surgeon says, you know, 80% of the time, the people actually see better, but 20% of them, they go blind. You know, so I just want to let you know that, you know, 20% of the time you'll go blind, but most of the time you will end up seeing better. I think you'd be getting out of there. Help! Get me off this table, right? You wouldn't want to be there. Well, how about are you a person who maybe teaching your children at home or teaching that Sunday school class, 80% of the time you actually are rightly dividing the passage, and 20% of the time you're telling somebody a lie and saying it's what God said instead of telling them God's truth? That's worse than the person who's causing the people blindness from LASIK, wouldn't it be? Yes, it would. So this is somebody who's rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this word rightly dividing appears only here in the New Testament, and it's kind of a compound word. There's a rightly part to the word and a dividing part to the word. Now, the rightly part appears in a text, you know, such as the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It appears in Proverbs 3:6, where it's translated, make straight your ways. It appears in Proverbs 11:5, where it says, righteousness cuts out blameless paths. Words that are related to the rightly word, this idea of dividing it rightly, is in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says scripture is profitable for correction. The correction is connected to that rightly idea. In Galatians 2:14, it says that people were walking uprightly, or there they were not walking uprightly, but the walking uprightly is connected to that rightly idea. So the idea here is dividing it properly. You're interpreting it properly in an upright way, in a way that leads people to get proper correction. So the result here of Timothy studying is that he'll be a workman who's interpreting scripture in an upright, correct way. He is interpreting it with orthodoxy, right teaching, and orthopraxy, right practice. So people are practicing scripture right, they're believing scripture right. He's cutting in a straight path. He's cutting along God's narrow way. And as he's cutting along God's narrow way, he won't be ashamed when he stands before God. But he'll be unashamed in the day of judgment. He'll have no reason or need for being ashamed. No need to feel disgrace or shame at the judgment seat of Christ. But he'll be joyful and unashamed before his Lord. He's a worker who's an unashamed one, in contrast to Luke 13:27, talks about workers of iniquity. He's not that kind of worker. He's not the deceitful worker of 2 Corinthians 11:13. He's not the evil worker of Philippians 3:2, but he's a godly laborer who's worthy of his reward, like 1 Timothy 5:18 mentions, who will receive rich reward from God for rightly dividing the word of truth. He won't be ashamed at the future judgment, and he also isn't ashamed now to tell people what God says. He's unashamed of God. He's unashamed of his words. He's unashamed of what the Bible teaches. Christ said in Mark 8:38 that the people who are ashamed of him and of his words in this adulterous and sinful generation will be ashamed when they have to stand before him. So he won't be ashamed in the future, but he's like Paul, who's right now unashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's maybe ashamed of his sins before he was saved, but he's not ashamed of the Bible. He's not ashamed, as 2 Timothy 1:8 says, of the testimony of our Lord. He's unashamed of the truth of Scripture, unashamed of Christ. He's not ashamed to partake of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He was not ashamed of Paul's chain, like 2 Timothy 1:16. He's not ashamed of taking a stand for God, even if it means persecution. And according to Hebrews 11:16, the people that are unashamed of God and of his word now, God won't be ashamed of them when they stand before him. So what we can see in this passage then is that it's absolutely crucial that if you're going to rightly divide the word, if you're going to properly interpret the Bible and correctly represent it, your motivation when you come into the text of Scripture has to be to have God's approval, not the approval of man. That's actually, when I was originally developing this message, I got to teach hermeneutics in Canada a while ago, and one of the essential prerequisites to proper biblical interpretation is being willing to believe whatever God says and practice it, no matter what the cost is. And you can see that in this passage. So if you're going to rightly divide the word, if you're going to interpret it properly, you must have the motive of being willing to believe whatever the text says, practice whatever the text says, boldly preach and teach whatever the text says, be willing to suffer persecution or even death rather than add or take away in any way from the honest meaning of what the Bible actually says. If you don't have this attitude, and you're not willing to repent of not having the attitude, then you have no business teaching the Bible. You shouldn't be teaching Sunday school. You really, certainly, please, if you're a young man who is considering going into the ministry and you aren't willing to tell people exactly what God says, no matter what the cost, please don't go into the ministry until you're willing and you have it in your heart and soul. You're going to tell people what the God says in His Word, no matter what the cost, because that's what the unashamed workman does. He's willing. He makes it his top priority to be approved by God, and that is absolutely crucial to rightly divide the word of truth. We need bold men of God who say, "Thus saith the Lord," no matter what the cost or consequences, not hirelings who fear men instead of God. One thing I appreciate about our pastors, on like cultural issues, for example, he's willing to say what the Bible says, even if the world doesn't like it, but he's not ashamed, and I appreciate that. That's really good. So we can see here the connection in 2 Timothy 2:15 is we make it our highest, our urgent priority to have God's approval as His unashamed laborer, rightly interpreting the word. And this is confirmed in many other passages of Scripture. Many other passages of Scripture teach the same thing, that if you're going to interpret the Bible rightly, you must be willing to believe and practice what it says, or you're going to not interpret it rightly. You're going to have problems. Why was it that John 7:17, Christ says, if any man will do his will, if you're willing to do God's will, you'll know what the true doctrine is in John 7:17. In Luke 8 and verse 10, Christ taught in parables to hide truth from people that weren't willing to obey it. He hid the truth from them because they didn't have that motive of being unashamed to stand before God and say exactly what it says. You take a look at Colossians 4 and verses 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. We have here a great inspired New Testament prayer here, or what Paul commands people to pray. Colossians 4, 3 and 4. He says, withal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So notice here, he asked for prayer that God would give them opportunities to speak, doors of utterance, and that when he did speak, he would make manifest the mystery of Christ, and he'd speak it as he ought to speak. So he's saying, continuing to please pray for me, pray for Christians that will have opportunities to speak and will fully manifest the truth, will make it known, will say it as we ought to speak. There's a parallel passage in Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 6, verses 17 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. The Bible here says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Colossians mentions that prayer for as they ought to speak. And here we can see that part of what Paul says you pray always for was pray for me that I'd have opportunities to speak and I'd speak boldly as I ought to speak. What does this word boldly mean? Boldly means he's speaking. It's a use of speech that conceals nothing and passes over nothing. It's frankness, outspokenness, plainness, boldness and confidence, courage, confidence, fearlessness, especially in the presence of persons of high rank, according to the dictionary. Speak boldly is the idea of expressing yourself freely, fearlessly, with courage. So here, this is an amazing request that Paul is making here. So Paul is here, he's imprisoned, he's in chains. He's chained to a Roman soldier here. And he isn't saying, please pray that I'll be able to sneak by, that I'll be able to keep my mouth shut and just get out of prison. No, that isn't what he's saying, pray for. He's saying, please regularly pray for me that I'll speak openly and freely and fearlessly and boldly with frankness and courage. And he's praying for boldness here to speak the mystery of the gospel for which he was in bonds. Notice it doesn't just say he's praying to speak the gospel, but the mystery of the gospel. What's the mystery of the gospel in Ephesians? Jews and Gentiles in one body. Okay, that's the mystery that he's proclaiming. Jews and Gentiles have equal status in Christ. Why did the Jews try to kill Paul in Jerusalem in the book of Acts? Because he was preaching to the Gentiles. That's why they wanted to kill him. So Paul isn't even here just praying for boldness to preach a few fundamental facts about the gospel, but he's praying that even this apparently less consequential thing, that Jews and Gentiles have equal status, pray for me that I won't slack from even something like that. Something lesser than that. Judaism was a recognized religion in the Roman Empire. So as long as the Roman officials think Christianity is just Judaism, then I'll be able to be free. But you know what? Pray for me that I'll be bold to tell Nero that Jews and Gentiles are equal in Christ, even if that makes it harder for me to get free, even if it means that if I just toned down a little bit what the Bible taught in this, it'd be easier for me to get out of prison. Pray that I don't back down in any way, but that I'm going to fully proclaim and accurately represent the truth in Christ. Pray that I'll have boldness to tell the Roman emperor everything that God has said, no matter what the cost. Quite a prayer. So the Bible calls people, as Christians, we're called God's ambassadors in Ephesians 6:20 and 2 Corinthians 5:20. What does an ambassador do? He proclaims exactly the message that he's been sent to deliver. He's proclaiming all the counsel of God in the completed Bible, and he's proclaiming it unashamed of his king, unashamed of the one who has given him God's message. So we're ambassadors for Christ. You have no liberty to weaken, to alter, to water down, to change in any way the message the Lord has given us to proclaim. We're unashamed of what he says. And our goal is to stand unashamed before him by laboring in his word and properly proclaiming and telling other people what it says. There's many other examples of this. Joshua was supposed to be bold and very courageous, to not turn to the right hand or to the left, but to say exactly what God said because God was with him and so he could do it. Jeremiah in chapter 21 of Jeremiah, here he's actually has to go. God commissions him to say, go out and basically betray your country by going out and surrendering to the Babylonians. There's this wicked heathen army around your city. And the Babylonians are very wicked and not very nice people. Go surrender to them. And so he tells people to do exactly that. Amazing. He didn't just hint at it. He didn't just imply it. He told people very specifically and clearly, even though it was a hard thing to proclaim. So we can see here that an essential prerequisite to proper interpretation of Scripture is to be willing to obey it and proclaim what it says, no matter what the cost. Because our attitude as we come to it is we want to be approved by God. Very, very quickly here, there's several things that can hinder this sort of holy boldness. One is cultural influences, postmodernism. So if you think all truth is relative, and you think that somebody's proud if he says he actually knows what God says, then you're not going to do this. But the Bible never says you're proud if you tell people exactly what God says. Or that we need to say, well, we really can't know what this says. It's hard to say, you know, things like that. You don't see that anywhere. So we're bold. We're not waffling, weak, or indecisive. We're rejecting postmodernism. It's unscriptural. We can also fail to be bold if we don't take the time to actually study so we know what it says. If you don't take the time to actually know what the Bible says, you're going to have a hard time telling people with boldness what it says. You can also fail if you're a hypocrite. If you have a big beam in your eye, it's going to be what you're whapping people with as you turn your head right and left. It's going to be hard for you to boldly proclaim the word if you're hypocritical and not actually practicing it yourself. Fearing the consequences of standing for what the text says can be a great reason that can hinder boldness. Okay? And another thing that can hinder it is if a person actually doesn't love God and love his word. If he's not one of the sheep that hears the voice of the shepherd, it's not going to happen. Are you one of his sheep? Do you actually love his voice? So we can see here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, a great command from the apostle Paul as he is writing this final epistle before his death to Timothy. Something applicable to every preacher of the word, something applicable to every Christian, something applicable to you as you're watching this. Study, make every effort, be very conscientious in discharging the obligation of showing yourself approved unto God. Be his laborer, one that's unashamed of his word now and will not be ashamed when you give an account to him. Rightly divide the word of truth, cut it straight, preach and teach exactly what it says, and apply exactly what it says, fearing only God and not man, for the glory of the Lord. May God help us to be this kind of people. May God help us to grow in this, that we might please the Lord. This is what it's about. This isn't a game. We need to serve him. If you aren't doing this, this is the great time to start doing it and obey this passage for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this command in 2 Timothy 2:15. We pray that you'd help us to not allow the cares of this world, to not allow the fear of man, to keep us from diligently studying your word, laboring in the word. I pray that we would make that the priority that we need to in our lives. I pray that you'd help every Christian watching this to have as his priority to really dig into the word of God, to labor in it, and to be willing to obey what it says and tell other people what it says, no matter what the consequences are, because we want to be your laborers, your unashamed servants. So we ask for your grace, because apart from your grace, we can't do this. It's going to be impossible. We need your help. We need your strength. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this because of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. I'm going to take this time now to pray, and certainly we are in an urgent hour of prayer and the need for prayer, and so let's trust that as we pray that you would pray in your hearts, pray in faith, pray in unity, that we would really join together as we pray. And so Paul is going to come and he's going to lead us. And then Mr. Myers is going to come and pray with us. So, Paul.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for the goodness, even in trials and difficulties, that we can look to God and be assured that he's giving us many blessings. And Lord, help us to see those even in these times. Lord, it's easy to look at the difficulties and the circumstances around us and to forget all the good things that are going on and all the good things you are doing for us. So Lord, help us to trust you, have faith in God, and Lord, to look at these trials and these circumstances as an opportunity to trust the Lord and to see you prove yourself faithful. And Lord, we do pray for the work of the Lord. We know that during this time, Lord, the devil would love to hinder the work of the Lord going forward. And yet we know the promises of your word, Lord, that you will work all things together for good. Lord, you'll build your church. And so even in times like this, we can trust your promises and ask that you would show yourself faithful and true and help us, Lord, to be involved in that in every way possible. I pray as we are still out and about to some degree, Lord, to be faithful in giving out the gospel. Lord, we know that many tracts and even specific tracts relating to the circumstances have been given out. And I pray, Lord, that as people have more time on their hands, that they would take the opportunity to search the scriptures and to read them, Lord. And I just pray that these circumstances would cause people to think about the big picture of life, the purpose of life. And, Lord, I pray that as people open up the Bibles, Lord, that they would see the truth and their lives would be transformed and changed. And help us, Lord, as we give out the gospel, Lord, to take advantage of opportunities, Lord, that we can give the gospel. And, Lord, I pray for the ministries of this church, even though many of them are not taking place now, we just pray that you continue to give us opportunities, Lord, whether that's to do Bible studies online, whether that's to just call someone and to encourage them in the things of the Lord. I pray that you would give us opportunities like that. And Lord, I pray for the university ministry. And we know, Lord, that's a very important ministry. And coming to the end of the year here, we need those two individuals, Lord, that can help take that Bible study and be the sponsors for it. And so, Lord, would you raise up those students? And I pray for the possibilities, Lord, that we have that that would come through. And Lord, just pray that that ministry would be able to stay open. Lord, we thank you for the fruit of that ministry over the years. And Lord, we pray for students that even in this last year have received gospel tracts and have been witnessed to, that during this time they would think back to a tract they received on campus or a witness that they received on that campus, Lord, and that they would pull out their Bibles and read it. And Lord, I pray also for the Bible studies that take place, Lord. Think of the high school Bible study. Please continue and bless that ministry, Lord. And we just look forward to that day, Lord, when we can get back into full time ministry as normal. And Lord, we pray for the people of God, the members of this church, Lord, as we are not able to come together in fellowship and exhort one another and to strengthen each other, Lord, I pray that we'd still consider the needs of others, Lord, and reach out and help where we can. And Lord, please protect from the attack of the enemy. Lord, the devil would love to get in and to discourage and to cause problems during this time. But Lord, help your people to keep their eyes on you and to stay in your word and take the extra time that we have, Lord, to study your word as we heard tonight and to get into it and study it more. And Lord, I pray that you would be with our missionaries as well during this time. Would you please watch over them? I know, Lord, especially in certain parts of the world where there's not as much law and order, Lord, that during these times there can be chaos and people can take advantage of these times. And so I pray, Lord, that you would watch over the missionaries and protect them. And, Lord, give them opportunities to minister even in this time and during these circumstances. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the many things that you are still doing, even in the midst of this. Lord, we do believe that the gospel is going forward and maybe in ways we hadn't expected or planned, but we believe that you can still work in these days, and we trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, we do thank you again for this evening. Thank you for the challenge through your word that you was given tonight, Lord. And help us as believers, Lord, to grow, Lord, as we, Lord, as your spirit has convicted us and worked in our hearts. Lord, help us to be studiers of the word of God, Lord, and be doers of your word. And Lord, we just thank you again for your mercy and goodness to us all, Lord, and what you did for us on Calvary. Lord, as we see resurrection morning coming before us, Lord, we're so thankful for those of us that, Lord, that your spirit worked in our hearts, Lord, and convicted us of our sin, and Lord, as we repented and called upon you for salvation, Lord, and gave us a new birth, a new life, Lord. We're so thankful for that, for what you did for us, Lord. Lord, thank you for America and the freedoms we have in this land. Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing here at home, Lord, and even through this time of virus, Lord, and Lord, we pray that you would give wisdom to doctors and Lord, those scientists, Lord, to maybe find a cure for this disease, Lord, for this virus, and pray that, Lord, that you would work in a mighty way, Lord, and Lord, to help your people, to help this time of need in America and across the world, Lord. And Lord, we're so thankful again, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, for this live stream that the Lord provided, that, Lord, that even though we're separated, Lord, at home, we can continue being underneath the preaching of your word, Lord, being around God's people in some sense, Lord, and learning your word and praying together. And, Lord, we just pray that for these people and their health needs, Lord, we thank you for what you did for Sister Griffin, Lord, and healing her through her cancer, Lord, and taking that away. We're thankful for that. We pray for Brother Emery, Lord, and Lord, that you would give him, hoping that he has a good night of rest tonight, Lord, and his time of need, and pray tomorrow will be a good day for him, Lord. And we pray for his wife, Sister Carol, Lord, and pray that you give her strength, Lord, as she's been enduring this for a long time with her husband. And, Lord, we just pray for both of them that you would comfort them in a special way, even at this time, Lord. Lord, I do like to pray for Brother Scott and Brother Spencer, Lord, and their time of need, Lord, with the cancer. We pray that you would also, Lord, touch their bodies, give doctors wisdom. Pray for these treatments, Lord, that they would be successful in their lives, Lord. And again, that, Lord, that they would be cured. And I pray that also, Lord, that you would also comfort them in their time of need. Pray for Sister Garcia, Lord, and ask for your hand be upon her, Lord. Also give her strength and help her, Lord, through her time. And pray, Lord, that Lord, she be healed and strengthened. And Lord, I'd like to pray for this Randy and Pat also, Lord. And Lord, as they have contacted this virus. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with them at this time. Pray that Lord, that each one of them, both of them, Lord, would be cured and be healed, Lord. I pray that you'd lift them up and raise them up at this time, Lord, please. And Lord, pray they not be casualties, Lord. So please work in their hearts in this time. And Lord, we're thankful for each doctor, nurse, and all those that are working, Lord, hard and putting a lot of hours in, Lord. Pray that you'd be with them at this time, Lord. And Lord, pray that you would be, Lord, that we receive a blessing from you in a special way, Lord, for all their labor and hours that they put in. And Lord, pray you give safety to each one. Pray for our police officers, Lord, fire department, Lord, people that are contact with other people, Lord. Pray you give them safety too, Lord, and pray that, Lord, that you would work in a mighty way on their behalf, Lord, and thank you for each one, Lord, who sacrifices their lives, Lord, out there, and pray that you would give them safety, Lord, please. And Lord, we just like to pray for also for this contact that Pastor had today. Lord, pray for this man, Lord, that you would work in his heart, Lord. May he be truly searching, Lord, for you. And pray, Lord, that there be other opportunities that Pastor would have to deal with this young man, Lord, and pray that he would come to know you as Savior if that's what he needs to do, Lord. And just pray that you work in a mighty way. Thank you for these divine appointments that you've given us, Lord, and stores and gas stations and even in our neighborhoods. And pray that you give us wisdom, Lord, and things to say, to write passages and Bible verses to use, Lord, that people would be challenged and Lord, find the truth. And truth is only in your word. So we'll just pray that you continue working there on our behalf, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, for the Lord, our teachers, and thank you for their faithfulness here in this school, Lord. And sometimes it's hard days, Lord. But Lord, we just pray that you'd be with them at this time, Lord, as they Lord, continue doing the schoolwork and Lord, working with the students on the phones and through computers and whatever it might be. Lord, pray that Lord, you give them continue giving them the wisdom they need, Lord, to teach these students. And pray for students, may they love their teachers, Lord, and learn to Lord, to be obedient to their parents and to walk with you, Lord. So please work in a mighty way there, Lord, on their behalf. And Lord, again, we thank you for our missionaries you've given us, Lord. Lord, I'd like to pray for Brother Nathan, Lord, as he, Lord, has 10 children, Lord, in Africa, South Africa, dear Lord. We pray that you give him strength, give him wisdom, Lord. Lord, help him to raise these children for you and his wife, Lord, that they would see each one of their children come to know you as Savior. And pray you give them, Lord, couples and godly men, Lord, to draw alongside of them in a ministry down there, Lord, that many souls will be saved and that church would grow. Lord, I'd like to pray also for Lord Brother Bucher in Spain. Lord, as he also was dealing with cancer, pray that you'd be with him at this time, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord, and pray for that work in Spain, that souls will be saved there. Pray that you would, as Lord, send a godly man, a godly couple, Lord, godly family in that area of Spain, Lord, that would love those people and want to see that ministry to continue going forward. So please work on that behalf also, Lord. Pray for the Bloyds in Italy, Lord, as they also are seeking for a Lord, a couple, or a godly man to come alongside them, Lord, to teach them the ministry there, Lord, in Italy, and that we would see that work continue going forward, Lord, and souls be saved there in a strong church, more than one, but, Lord, strong churches, Lord, to grow in Italy and souls be saved there. And, Lord, and we just like to pray for, we thank you for our missionaries, the Michael Raines family in Africa, the Stephen Raines family in Africa, Brother Simonson and his family there. Lord, they've been so faithful, and pray that you continue helping them, strengthen them, Lord, and use them in a mighty way, Lord. Raise them up. Raise up souls there, Lord, and godly families, Lord, to care about the work there, Lord, to care about souls. So please continue working in Africa, and we thank you, Lord, again, Lord, for this time of prayer, and thank you for your mercy and goodness to this great land you've given us, Lord, and we're so blessed in many ways. And Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that, Lord, just pray that you would keep working in this land. And we just pray for, Lord, the message we heard tonight, Lord. I pray that message would go through a lot of people, a lot of pastors. And, Lord, and help us not to be the ones to compromise the Word of God, Lord, but to grow and be strengthened, not to be ashamed of the Word, Lord, and not to be ashamed of you, but, Lord, that we would see that the only hope we have in this land is through you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for our missionaries. And Lord, we know that they're affected by this situation. We pray for the Wilhites, that, Lord, in that difficult, difficult land of Australia, that, Lord, you would be supernaturally working. And, Lord, that you would lead them to prepared hearts. And that, Lord, even in this time, there would be, as they are using different means to contact people and to reach people, we pray that they would see their first family get saved, Lord. And so, Lord, work there in that need. We want to pray, Lord, for Brother Forrester. Pray for the Navajo people to be faithful. Pray that, Lord, that the truth of the Word of God would build them up. We would pray for, Lord, certain couples that have been on and off, that, Lord, they would really let the Lord Jesus be their Lord and not halfway, not serving God because it works out good or because they want some kind of a good thing to happen to them. But help them, Lord, to serve God because he's God and you are worthy to be worshiped and obeyed, even if it doesn't go exactly the way we want it to go, Lord. And so give Brother Forrester great wisdom in these days, and may this be a rallying point for them. And Lord, we pray for the new churches. We pray, Lord, for Brother Weber, that you'd give them new contacts in the village of Shawano, the city of Shawano. We pray for Brother Bertrell down in Louisville, Lord, pray that you would supernaturally work in the right timing, the right people. Give them a core of people who own the work, Lord. And might you give them a building that they can really have church services, Lord, with freedom and be known as a permanent fixture in that community. And Lord, we pray for our own ministry tonight. We pray for all those bus kids, Lord. And Lord, we know, oh, how I pray that you would help them to understand the Word of God. Lord, think little Adriana, who comes with such a smile to church every Sunday. I pray that she's able to listen live stream and that in this time off she's reading her Bible. We pray, Lord, that you would do great things in her life. Help her to grow. Pray for the other children, the Zavada kids and Johnny and his sister and others. Lord, give us a new awakening in that bus ministry. Give us a whole new crew of children, Lord. Might there be a whole a new group of parents who are interested in the things of God. Break, Lord, through in that East Troy area. We pray, Lord, even for those in Mequonago area that come to Kids Club, and pray you'd be working in those children. But, Lord, we know that without the parents, it's very difficult odds, Lord, for these children to really comprehend and connect. I would pray that you would work in these parents. Lord, draw them to yourself, Lord. And we pray for our own young people, Lord. If there's any of them that are not saved, Lord. Oh, it's they really don't know the horribleness of the world. They're only living in the benefits of a Christian home, and they don't know or have a clue what the sin really does in lives and in families, Lord. And I pray that you would work in their hearts to really convict them of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Lord, every one of those young people work in their hearts, especially our teenagers, Lord. Help them to really know that you're the living God. Might you be working in their life. May they hunger, Lord, for the living God, to know your power, to know your working in their lives. We pray for children. Lord, while their hearts are tender, we think of all these little ones. Lord, we rejoice to see these little ones in church and the smile and the joy in their hearts. We pray that, Lord, that you'd help their parents raise them for thee to be consistent and to have victory and to be a good example and to know how, Lord, to raise their children for you. But we pray for these little children that your Holy Spirit would touch their hearts, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for a church that we have. And, Lord, it's hard to be away from church. Lord, when the believers are assembling, it's the temple of God, the very house of God. And, Lord, it is great for children and adults, Christians, to be in the atmosphere and under the influence of the very presence of the Spirit of God. We pray that, Lord, it would be soon that we can meet again. And Lord, perhaps our legislature needs to rise up to the occasion, even as they did in Kansas, Lord, and told the governor that churches are essential and it's unconstitutional not to allow them to meet. Lord, might our own assembly people and senators, might they get conviction about the need for the people of God to meet and for the importance of the public worship in our country and to honor you, Lord. The public honoring of the God of heaven is such an essential truth and principle. Lord, I pray that our nation would turn from its wickedness, Lord. Lord, we can't imagine how our nation would turn from gay marriage, would turn from transgenderism, it would turn from pornography, it would turn from alcohol and drugs. Lord, I pray that all these people involved in these sins, Lord, that they would sense the emptiness, the death, the separation from the holy God. Might they just realize the depths of wickedness that they have gotten into and want to cry to thee for forgiveness and cleansing. Lord, our land needs you. Lord, we need you to influence our leaders. Lord, help our president to listen to the right people. Keep, Lord, his ears from those who have an agenda and would like to lead our country away from its constitution, away from its founding. Lord, only you can do such things. And yet at the same time, Lord, we know that there's nothing that happens by accident. And we would pray that, Lord, that your purposes would be fulfilled. And we pray as a result of this that many souls will come to you. We thank you for those in Hungary that have come to you in this time, Judith and this other lady and her daughter. We rejoice in that, Lord. Might there be more that would want to talk down by the lake and come to you. And Lord, we pray right here in Maquonago. I pray that, Lord, that we would see a hunger for you. And Lord, help us to be hungry. Help us to be hungry, Lord, for souls. Help us to be hungry for your power. Help us to be hungry, Lord, for you to work. And to help us to love souls and have compassion on souls. And Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to know how to be harmless as doves, Lord, and wise as serpents in these days. And Lord, might people see the love of Christ in us. Might they know that you are real even through the people of God as they walk in life, Lord. And so, Lord, lift up the testimony of this church in Maquonago. Pray that people would turn to holy worship and not worldly worship. We pray that people, Lord, instead of mocking righteousness, would want the righteousness that only Christ can give. Lord, and so we pray especially for Sunday, that it would be a special day, Lord, of your working, how we rejoice in the resurrection of our Savior. Lord, what a wonderful thing. The death, burial, resurrection of our Savior. I pray that, Lord, that that many will join us live stream, and that your Spirit would touch their hearts, Lord, in conviction, giving them a hunger for the beauty of the Lord and the knowledge of thee. Lord, pray for those who've recently been saved that they might grow and become fervent soul winners for you. We pray for those two new foundational families that we need, Lord. Might, Lord, even as you touched a band of men that gathered around David, Lord, touch the hearts of people, Lord, even as you said in Corinthians, that you might set them in the local church and to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, be with the people of God. Bless the families. Bless those individuals, Lord, who would love to be in the house of God tonight. And it's kind of lonely, Lord, without the fellowship. Lord, work in a special way in their lives. And I say amen to Brother Greg's prayer for all those that are ill and sick. And Lord, might you encourage them in a special way and give them physical strength. And so, Lord, we pray All these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Hey, we're going to have a closing hymn. Pastor John's going to come.
All right, we're going to sing hymn 248. I got the wrong number. Just a second here. Hymn 148. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, will he find us watching? Will Jesus find us watching? 148. Close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we could, Lord, look, hear from your word. Lord, help us to be, Lord, that workman, Lord, that would not be ashamed before you. And we just pray, Lord, in this day and age, how much we need the word of God to be proclaimed and to have this your power behind it. And Lord, we just pray that you would enable us, Lord, to do that which you have called us to do. And we just pray that you would just work in a special way in the service this Sunday. Lord, we pray that there would be many people that would be watching it and that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified and you would work in a powerful way. And we just pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon our country. Lord, may leaders look to you. May they recognize, Lord, how powerless they are and, Lord, how much they need you. And we just pray that there would be a great turning to you, Lord, a repentance during this time. And, Lord, we just pray that you would be honored and glorified through it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.